that we can hide it in our heart, Lord, that we may not sin against you. Amen. Amen. Just thinking of this, I read this verse the other day, and the Lord just reminded me of some things, and I just kind of had it confirmed today. I was listening to some worship set from Bethel, which is always really good worship. I know you Blue Jeaners are familiar with that, but they just have some really cool, isn't it awesome? I just love to turn their worship and get into it. They really bring the presence with that. This particular verse found in Timothy, and as Paul says, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may fight the good fight, right? That by his words, or the words that God has given him, that's how we fight the fight of faith. Paul talks about that in his last letter to Timothy, which is probably the last letter he actually wrote. He calls it a good fight, right? This battle that we engage every day. And the way we fight this battle for our lives personally is with the prophecies or prophetic words that God has spoken over our lives, okay? Scripture will tell us that, it says in Proverbs, that every word of the Lord is tested. Every word of God that we get or receive, this personal word, goes through this testing. It tests us, right? The enemy will come. God will even use him as a tool in our life when he begins to attack us. We stand and use the word that God's given us, spoken over our lives. Because in Christ Jesus, right, all the promises are yes. Part of this in Ephesians chapter 6 of standing against the enemy, and he uses the things of like armor, the, you know, salvation. And we know this, the offensive weapon that we have with a sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, okay? And can be used as we quote Scripture and stuff like that, but it's really, we fight with it as a sword of the Spirit in the things that God has spoken to you in your life, that we can see them come to pass, right? That's taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, our offensive weapon. That's how we do battle against the enemy, okay? Because if you hadn't realized that, all of you have in here, that's had words in your life. I mean, all of us have words spoken in our life, right? Some of them we've seen, some of them we're still contending for. And we battle because, and another good scripture in Psalms, where was I reading that? Really, I love some of my favorite scripture in all of the Psalms. In 105, it's talking about Joseph here. And God called for a famine upon the land. He broke the whole staff of bread, and he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They afflicted his feet with fetters. He himself was laid in irons. And that word actually from Hebrew, it said he himself was laid in irons. Actually, it says his soul was laid in irons while he was in this prison. Until the time that his word came to pass, it says the word of the Lord tested him. And that word tested means it purified him, got him ready. The king sent and released him, the ruler of peoples, and set him free and made him lord of his house, a ruler of all his possessions. And you know, when he's talking about the word he's particularly talking about here, are the two dreams that God gave Joseph about ruling. Remember? And he went and he was 17 years old, and these dreams about he would rule one day, and you know, the moon and the sun and the bowing down, the stars were bowing down to him, you know. And he shared that with his brothers. Well, he shared this word, probably the smartest thing to do, sharing it with them, because, of course, we know they tried to kill him. You know, he went out, they took him out, was going to kill him. Reuben, of course, saved his life, tells him, hey, let's kind of throw him in this pit, and he was going to come back later and let him out of the pit. But they ended up, you know, these Ishmaelites came along, he was sold to them. They took him down into Egypt to where he was sold to this guy, Potiphar. We know the story. Potiphar's wife liked him, you know, and hit on him all the time. He was falsely accused there, cast into prison. And the time from when he first received the word to the fulfilling of it was 13 years. Okay. Which number 13 is a double portion. It was a good number. But you see where it's really important here. You don't see that in Genesis, but you do see it in here, that the word of the Lord tested him or purified him. A lot of times we get words, you're not ready to receive that word yet. God has to do some work in you so you can receive the blessing, okay? Like if you had a little cigar box, for instance, and the Lord and someone was going to give you a big, huge amount of gold coins, okay? All you can receive is the amount that can go in that cigar box, okay? Because you aren't prepared to receive all of it, okay? It's like it happens all of a sudden, and you're looking around, and all you can find is, I found this little cigar box. That's all I have. When the Lord, his plan is to dump all this gold and all this wealth on you, but you can only receive that amount. You're not ready. You get it? Joseph wasn't ready to receive all of these words, but yet, that's where we know in Psalm 105 that that's how he contended. He fought everything that was going on in his life because he knew that that word was going to come to pass. So he didn't look at his circumstances. Oh my God, I'm missing it. Everything, you know, it even says, you know, when his brothers came, he said, you didn't send me to this place. God did. Okay. So we know that Joseph did battle that way. In some way, we don't have a real record of it, but he had to have, right? That always bringing back, always remembering the word that God spoke. Another one too, and we'll end with this one. We just don't have a lot of time. Because you see in the life also of Abraham, and in Romans chapter 4, I would have already had this marked if I would have remembered that I was supposed to speak today. It would have helped, right? This is what it says. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead. He was about 100 years old. You know, that's when Isaac was coming along, in the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God. And that word respect is something you do like a union, something that kind of penetrates in something and gets things going like a catalyst, right? That word respect. With respect to this promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And waver means when you're taught, you're kind of back and forth. James, the book of James says it's unstable, right? An unstable man is a hesitant man. And is, in other words, let's put it in our language, like with the promise of God, you're kind of saying, well, we'll see. We'll just see if it happens. Well, Scripture says if we have that kind of attitude, we're not going to see the fulfillment of that promise. Because it's an unstable, unwavering man. And James says, you know, the whole context is, hey, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you. He loves giving it to you. But let him ask in faith. Because if you don't ask in faith, you're like a man who is driven and tossed by the waves. And it says this man will be unstable in all his ways. Right? Because he's not believing what God said. But this is what Abraham says, which I love this. He grew strong in faith. He didn't waver. A point in time he didn't. He did waver for years, but all of a sudden he didn't. He had real respect for that word, and it set things into motion. And when things were set into motion, God got busy. Within a year, Isaac was born. That being fully assured, this is one of my favorite scriptures, being fully assured that what God promised, God was also able to perform. And sometimes we're reduced to nothing but faith. All we have left is just to believe that what God promised, God will, can, and will perform. And we have that attitude, it sets things into motion for our lives. Okay? There are some things you're not ready to receive that God's promised you, but there are some things that you're past due on that God wants to do in your life. But you've got to fight the fight with the faith. You've got to take the very promises and do battle with them. Right? If you're taking a sword and you're doing battle, I mean, you're going to use that thing. So I think that's a word. I know it's a word in my life. I'm waiting on some things of God to do. He's spoken to me, right? He's spoken about my healing. I haven't received it yet, but things are in motion. So I remind the promises of God every day because I have them written down of what you said. He spoke a word. All right, God, if you said it, you're going to perform it. And I'll receive it, and that's how I do battle. Discouragement, I do battle. God said. I remember listening to a particular word that in that Bethel worship today, Bill Johnson broke in and started talking about, or his son was talking about this, his grandfather's favorite words were, but God, you know. No matter what you're going through, but God. But hasn't God said? You know, but God says. This is what he says about the situation. Amen. And that's how we live. That's how we do. That's just brown bag, ABC, Christianity, how we do battle with the words. Okay? And maybe you're in a situation that's very difficult. What do you need to do? One, you need to get a word. Let the Lord speak to you in that circumstance. And two, then let that word be your sword. Right? Declare it. Stand on it until the time is fulfilled for you, and then it'll happen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.